Let's just turn quickly in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We've just been on a study through the book of Ephesians, and as we go through Ephesians chapter 4 here, we'll kind of stop and pick up a few more nuggets along the way. I'd like to just read, starting at verse 11 here in Ephesians 4. It says this, says, he gave some apostles, and we found out, you know, in prior lessons that apostles are modern-day missionaries. Brother Branham said he didn't know why they changed the word from from apostle to missionary, but they're individuals that go and just establish churches. That's what their job is, to go and establish churches. And nowadays we have a problem with that, because people that call themselves apostles, they go and establish churches, but the purpose of establishing is to try to create a stream of income. That's what their purpose is, but that's not what they did back in the Bible days. They just wanted to see the word of God spread, and they would go and establish churches. So here he says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we'll just focus on these particular verses tonight. But again, I want you to just kind of look back at verse 11, where it tells us some apostles, some prophets. These words are pluralized. Some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. All right. And these words are pluralized, which should help us to see that it's more than a one-man show. Amen. Oftentimes we get wrapped up in that it's just a one-man show, but it's not. This is the fivefold ministry that God places in the church, and they have a very, very specific job, a very, very unique responsibility, and it's only men that are called to this. You know, we go back into the Old Testament, we can see in the Old Testament, even when it came to the priests, it was only men that were called to be priests. They did not have women priests, all right? There was a woman prophet, and or prophetess, I should say that. We did have those, and so you could have a woman prophetess even today. You know, Miriam was a prophetess, so you could have a woman prophetess today, but a prophetess or a prophet is just a person that foresees or foretells something. That would not be according to Ephesians 4 that minister would operate. That would be according to 1 Corinthians, where that minister would operate. The spirit of prophecy coming upon a person and, you know, causing the prophesy. It may happen one night. Spirit drop on this one sister, and then it don't come on her ever again, you know. But we want to try to establish these gifts according to the word of God. Now, I believe that we should expect to see all these gifts in operation in the church. I believe that. Because if they were in the New Testament church at the beginning, they should be here now, you know. But it's just got to be done according to order, you know, according to the scripture. But 1 Corinthians 12 gives us, some outlines there which we could easily follow. But I just want to kind of focus on this right here in Ephesians 4. The other thing that kind of throws some people off, I'm battling from the weekend. From all the sweating and everything, I'm battling now, but praise God anyway. Brother Branham's ministry would not really be the Ephesians 4, okay, because he had he's what we call a major prophet, all right, and his ministry was to bring the word, restore the word back to us according to Malachi 4, according to Revelation 10:7. He had a very, very specific ministry, and what he said is that, you know, really the spirit, the bride, and the prophet would be saying the same thing. So as the prophet preaches the word of God, then we as the ministry go back to what the prophet said to keep the church in line with what was said as God revealed it to a prophet. God revealed the Ten Commandments to Moses, right? God revealed the seven seals to Brother Branham, okay? The church held on to the Ten Commandments and every other law back in that time. The Israelites held on to it, we ought to hold on to the word today as God revealed it to a prophet. He doesn't change the way that he does things. See, so we're not looking for someone to come up with something new. You know, even this fivefold ministry, they're not going to come up with new things. And even Brother Branham told us that a prophet here, if he prophesies, he's not going to come and prophesy something that's already in the word of God. That's not a prophecy. We already got it in the word of God. You know, thus saith the Lord. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy gonna come in the morning. No. That's not thus saith the Lord. That's not it. You know, we already know that. We can read that. You see, what we want to hear is that, you know, if there's trouble coming and I need to be aware of something, you know, help me to dodge that. Or I got a situation that somebody's, you know, sick and I'm just looking for what's the will of the Lord concerning the situation. Maybe somebody can come and give you a word. That's what we're looking for. And if you don't have it, don't make it up. Amen. See, don't make it up. There are many times people go to Brother Branham. He said, give me a vision, Brother Branham. He could not give that person a vision. If God didn't give it to him, he could not give it to them. You know, so when we have people nowadays that every time they turn around, the Lord spoke to them, you got to doubt that. I'm just be honest with you. Every time you turn around, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, the Lord, no. God don't talk as much as people say he talk. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. I've been serving the Lord for a long time, and he don't talk that much. Sometimes you know exactly when God speak, but other times you got to walk by faith. Amen. See, so, you know, this ministry or the fivefold ministry has a very specific purpose. And now, you know, the other thing is, you know, since Brother Branham's left, there's other people that had different gifts in their life that people try to make another prophet. All right. Not another messenger, because there was only seven of those. Seven angels, seven stars in the hand of Jesus, according to the book of Revelation. Now, a person could have a prophetic ministry, but it doesn't mean that their ministry is for the bride to be following. See, that's not the way that works. So, and one of those people that have a prophetic gift is Brother Branham's own son, Joseph. He has a prophetic gift on his life, and from a little boy has been prophesying, and things have been coming to pass. But that does not mean he's the eighth messenger. The scripture does not speak of an eighth messenger. The scripture speaks of seven. So we have to make sure we stay right in line with the word of God, that we can keep, that way we won't have a cow in the tree picking grass. See, the cows need to stay on the ground picking grass. See, so, you know, but Brother Joseph's calling certainly could fit right here in the book of Ephesians, certainly. And there might be other brothers that might have the same type of gift to be a prophet, and they would fit. And Brother Branham also taught us what we found out a couple weeks ago is that a prophet also is a New Testament preacher. So the pastor could be considered that. All right. And something I didn't try to do it, but by inspiration 2 years ago, I spoke a message, the first message of the year. I spoke the year of release, and I just come out and spoke it by faith. Had no idea what I was saying. Just preached it. That's because that's what God put in my heart. That year, God released this ministry to do a lot of things. I forgot the other message. I went back and showed all the things that happened that year, the website that was released, the opportunity I had to go overseas and preach the gospel for the first time. You know, so many things happened that year, and I just preached it just by inspiration, but it was a prophetic message, you know, the year of release. And, you know, so sometimes God will give a message like that, and as the minister's preaching the word of God, that a prophecy is going forth into the church. Amen. We got to be able to catch it like that. Not all the time you got to hear, you got to be spiritual enough to know when God is speaking. Even if nobody come out and say, thus saith the Lord. You got to be spiritual to know that it's God still speaking. Amen. And unfortunately, we've put ourselves in a position where the only thing we want to hear is thus saith the Lord. That's not good. What toothpaste should I buy? Thus saith the Lord. Get aim. What should I do here? Thus saith the Lord. Turn right. No, God don't do those type of things. God don't do it like that. I mean, you know, he some things we got to just completely depend on him for, but other things, you know, come on. You're created in my image. I want you to go out there and take care of this, you know. Amen. Just go do what I need you to do. And if you get into a little spot, don't worry. I take care of it. When God told Moses to go deliver the children of Israel, he was not looking for Moses to come back to him. And Moses come back crying, Lord, what should I do now? What you crying for, Moses? Don't cry to me. Speak and move forward. I don't care what you got to do. Just do it and move forward. That's the way God expected Moses to handle that. See? Amen. So God wants us to be the same way. Let's look at a few things here. As I'm bringing this out, the reason for this fivefold ministry, according to Ephesians chapter 4, 11, has the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The reason that they're here, verse 12 tells us, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we are kind of working with the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's just kind of slip over really quick over here to 2 Peter 1, and then we'll show you what the stature of the fullness of Christ is all about. Amen. Verse 1 through 8. Then I'll pick up a few quotes out of Stature of a Perfect Man as we just begin to drill deeper into the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. This, as Christians and claiming to have the Holy Ghost, we should know what results the Holy Ghost will bring. Brother Branham said that if we don't know what results it bring, we don't know what we got when we get it. We got to know what results it's going to bring. And one of the things that we got to make clear to the church is that the Holy Spirit should produce the life of Christ. That's what it is. Not just speaking in tongues, not just running around and jumping. It should produce the very life of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Brother Branham made it clear. We never heard nobody preach it like this until he brought it. But he made it clear as to what that life would represent. It would have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. That would be the stature of Christ. That's the stature of a perfect man. That's what we are striving for daily. Listen, verse 1 in 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So faith is our foundation according to the scripture. This is, as we get started becoming the stature of fullness of Christ, faith is the foundation that we have to start on. Okay, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So, we want to just kind of go and tie these together through the message that Brother Branham preached, the stature of a perfect man. The ministry, the fivefold ministry is to bring us, amen, to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and also unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's look at what Brother Branham said here in Stature of a Perfect Man, paragraph 18-2. As we just go a little deeper, the last time we taught on this, we brought some things in, and one of the key things, I want to just try to make this point clear. as Christians, and I know the scripture tells us to add. Oftentimes we've tried to do it in our own way. Let's put it that way. We've tried to do it in our own way. Brother Branham said, a sheep does not have to manufacture wool. It doesn't have to do it. But because of the nature that is inside that animal, it just automatically comes out. Okay? So if that happens with a sheep, a Christian that is truly born again of the Spirit of God does not have to try to make these things happen. It will automatically come out of that person. That's that. I mean, this is not you doing it. This is Christ doing it inside of you. See, but when you realize that, Lord, I'm falling short. Lord, your word is saying this, and I'm missing something that drives you right back to your knees. Lord, I need help in this area. I mean, God, you said I'm supposed to have your type of patience. I need your knowledge. I need everything. This is the stature of you, Christ, that I got to have within me. If I'm falling short, help me. Let me die to myself, that I might come alive in you. Amen. Like what John say, I must decrease so that he can increase. See, and this, once we recognize what the goal is, if we see we've fallen short, then go to prayer and let God bring you up. But it's not about when you say you got it and when you say it. No, it's not about that. Amen. This is up to God. And see, somebody would say Jesus didn't have no patience when he beat them people out that temple. He had a lot of patience. He put up with them for a long time before he actually came to that point. And finally had to let them know. And sometimes, you know what? You might have to let people know, especially if they cross the line when it comes to the word of God. Amen. I mean, when they come, wait a minute. Now, the buck stops right there. I'm a Christian, but it stopped right there. See, you have to be that way sometime with people. And see, and the devil, oh, you ain't got no patience. You should have just, no. I ain't going to let you run over me either, Satan. Amen. I'm going to be a Christian. I pray for you, love you, and you know, like what one brother say, and oh, Lord, I'm going to leave that alone. It's quotes for everything, I'm telling you. It's quotes for everything. But, the thing of it is just let God be the one to say what you got and what you don't have. Amen. And when you feel like you're falling short, just go to your knees in prayer and let God take it from there. Let's read this. I want to just kind of talk about faith here. That's our foundation. Brother Branham says this in paragraph 18.2 of Stature of a Perfect Man. He says, notice you must be born again. See, that's your foundation. Now, remember, this Stature of a Perfect Man is like building a house. And when you're building a house, you can't put the roof on first. You have to get a foundation laid first. And then when you get your foundation, you got to get some walls. Then when you get your walls, then you put a roof on. See, so as a Christian, we got to lay the foundation just right. The foundation that we're building on is faith. Faith. Notice you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. Amen. I mean, that's right. So you see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you're a skeptic of the Bible, when you're a skeptic of the word being right, see, if you kind of, well, I don't know if that part of the Bible right. I'm not sure about that. If you got skepticism running through your veins, then you ain't got faith. See, amen. We got to take all of what God said is right. Whether we understand what God said or not, we still got to take it as right. Amen, church. It might be scriptures you've never heard of before, but if they right there, amen, the word said it. See, praise the Lord. So it's, when you're a skeptic of the Bible, when you're a skeptic of the word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. Just stay back until first you believe it. What is sin? Unbelief. There's only two elements that controls the human being. That's either doubt or faith, one or the other. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have. how much you can rise, but first it's got to be faith. Now, let me stay on that foundation for a while. Now, like I said the last time we got together, I won't go into all of the stature of a perfect man. I'll try to hit some of the highlights just to kind of drive these points home. But I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that tape or read that book where Brother Branham preached this message on the stature of a perfect man. It will really bless your soul. Amen. It will really bless your soul. He talked about, you know, our life being dominated by faith or dominated by doubt. You all remember the story that Brother Branham told about the Indian chief that he ran into. And they asked the Indian chief, he said, how are you doing? Say, pretty bad, pretty good. Say, what you mean, pretty bad, pretty good? He say, well, you know, some days it's real good, some days it's real bad. He says, it's like a black dog and a white dog fighting on the inside of me. And he said, okay, well, which dog is winning, chief? Say, it depends on which one I feed. See, the black dog represented doubt. The white dog represented faith. So it depends on which one you feed as to which one going to dominate your life. Amen. Look, you can't sit and talk to people that speak doubt all the time if you want to walk in faith. Amen. You can't do it. You can't keep company with them kind of people. Some folk, when I see their phone number coming across on my phone, I can't answer it. I just can't answer it. You know, I already know what this is going to do to my spirit. So I just let you leave a message. If it was really important, I'll call you back. Otherwise, we'll just let it pass. See, don't contaminate yourself that way. You're a spiritual being. Don't allow him to get contaminated with that type of stuff. Some people that just speak doubt all the time, negative all the time. Before you know it, you're speaking negative about everything. And you wonder where that spirit came from. It's the person that you're letting feed you. You got to cut them off. The scripture actually tell you to do that, too. It tell you that. I can't remember right now, but I can find it for you. It's like Philippians or somewhere in there. You know, there's a scripture. It tell you to cut people like that off. Tell you to do it. Amen. So, I mean, and it said, don't let the devil say, see, you ain't got no patience with them. No, you got the wrong patience, Satan, that you're dealing with. See, I've had patience with them. I'm sitting here letting them talk for a while, but now I just got to cut them off. Amen. Especially if they're not listening to you, right? Amen. You can tell now if they won't listen to you. Anything that you have to say, it's always what they got to say. You bet. That's a spirit. That is a spirit. Amen. A dominating spirit too. Praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Give me Matthew chapter 8. I want to. Brother Branham, he brings out here in stature of a perfect man the type of faith that we should be looking to have. And he pulls in this scripture of Matthew 8 to let us know what should be there. Matthew 8, verse 5. Okay. It says this, and when Jesus was entered, see, again, the scripture says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder. That's Hebrews 11:6, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If I get to God, then I believe that he's going to answer my prayer. See, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let's look at this. That's Hebrews 11:6 in light of what happens here in Matthew 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. So he's looking for Jesus. This man's looking for Jesus. Saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, first of all, Jesus already, you know, he's speaking what he's going to do. Ain't even got there, but he already told the man, I'm going to come and I'm going to heal him. I'm going to take care of this for you, you know. I just wish the church had that kind of, yes, sir. I wish the church had that, brother. I mean, we could just take care of situations. When we get into virtue, y'all think about this scripture, because Brother Branham said in virtue, oftentimes people come to us, but it's insufficient funds. When they come and try to cash their check with the bride, they're getting insufficient funds. There is not enough faith to take care of this. It's the truth. But something, we're missing this. If this is how Jesus walked, we should be walking the same way. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his mouth, we're his body. Listen, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This man, again, is demonstrating what type of faith. He's coming to God, believing that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he's coming to the Lord Jesus, saying, now, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house, but if you just speak the word only, my servant going to be healed. Now, he don't stop there. Watch what he goes on to say. For he's giving him an example. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. The way that this man was explaining the situation, Jesus called it faith. See? I mean, I haven't found this kind of faith, not in Israel. Nobody in Israel got this kind of faith that this man just demonstrated to me. And his explanation as to, you know, I kind of understand the way that this thing should work. And if you just speak the word the way I speak the word to my servant, something's going to happen. If you know what, you ought to, you know, oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. If parents could see that in the way that we speak to our kids, I say come and they come. And I say this go, they go. They, you know, well, it used to be that way. Now, I guess you couldn't tell Jesus that because the kids tell the parents what to do now. You know, but the parents, I mean, the kids could have, I tell my mama to do this. Don't even try it. But if we had something in our life where this principle was at work, I mean, it, you know, like just faith is you getting it going after you leave here tonight. Everybody got here in some vehicle, whether you got on a bike, whether you caught the bus, whether you got in a cab, whether you drove your own car, you had faith in whatever vehicle that got you here. You had faith that when you start pedaling, then it was going to turn. You had faith that when you got on the bus, that you know that bus was not going to break down, but it was going to bring you to church. You had faith that when you put your key inside the ignition of your car, it was going to crank, you're going to put it in reverse and drive and just be gone. You had faith. That's how simple faith is. You had faith that when you sat down in that chair, it was going to hold you. That's faith. Lord, and if we can approach God the way that you approach that chair. Not hoping. Certain. God, I'm coming to you. I mean, just like I'm sitting in this chair, I'm coming to you expecting that you're going to take care of this situation for me. If we had it, church, like that, we'd be unstoppable. Amen. Unstoppable. God help us. This is the foundation that we got to be established on. See, this is what that, when you talk about the stature of the perfect man, this is where God is trying to get his church to. Amen. We got this mixed with a little bit of doubt. It ain't going to work. It'll never work. Look at what he says. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now, he first told him, I will come and heal him. But notice he never even said anything else. He said, as you believed. So where if that man believed that he'd come in contact with Christ and just the spoken word alone would take care of the situation, as he believed, he received it that way. Church, that's the way we got to be. Oh, my. What if you do, Lord, I need a word from you, God. I need a word. What if you come and don't get a word? What do you believe? What do you believe? Where's your faith? I mean, Lord, I'm like the Hebrew boys. Lord, I know you can deliver. But if you don't deliver, I am still not going to bow down to this. Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Praise God for that. Brother Branham was saying also here in the Statue of a Perfect Man, you can go back and look at this. He made the comment. He says, Brother Oral Roberts was preaching and I think the same morning that Brother Branham preached this message on Statue of a Perfect Man. He was listening to the radio, and Brother Oral Roberts had preached, and he said, you know, if you got faith, then reach out and touch your radio as a point of contact. Just touch your radio, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith, and you touch the radio, and you believe as you're touching the radio, and as we pray, God going to take care of that situation. So everybody reaching out, touching the radio, right? So Brother Adams said, I'm not criticizing Brother Roberts. He said, but true faith ain't got to touch nothing. You don't have to touch no radio. You don't have to touch nothing. You know, true faith, this is what this man just demonstrated, is what we call Gentile faith. The children of Israel, their faith was, Lord, if you come and touch me, Lord, if you do this, then I know it'll change. But this man said, No, you ain't got to come to my house. Just speak the word, and that'll take care of this situation. Gentile faith is spoken word type faith. This is where God wants us to be. See, not always needing somebody to touch us. You got to know that when you speak the word, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into sea, don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say. Not what the pastor says, not what some other famous preacher says, but what you say. If you say to the mountain, if you go into the hospital room and you pray that God will answer your prayer, I might not be able to get in contact with the pastor. I need to know I can get in contact with God. You know what? His phone line is always available. You can always get a message through and get one back. You know that? Praise God. Amen. Anytime you call, he's going to answer. You know. Oh, my. But he said, true faith don't have to touch anything. Just touch God and let him take care of it. He also brought in the scripture of Hebrews 11:1 when he talks about this faith, the foundation that this is built on, when we talk about the stature of a perfect man. Hebrews 11:1. I'll just read a couple scriptures there, and then we'll go on. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. Faith, when something is of substance, it's something that you're holding, that you have. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you don't even, like Brother Branham talks about the person that desires bread and don't have the money to buy bread, or don't have bread in the house. So if somebody come by and give, if that bread costs a quarter, a loaf of bread costs a quarter, somebody give you that quarter, you can rejoice with that quarter in your hand just as much as rejoicing when you got the bread. And trust me, if you got the money to be able to purchase it, the hunger pains kind of go away. And when you got the resources, when you know you got the resources, your thought process changes, right? Like you need a bill paid, and you don't have the money to get that bill paid. All of a sudden, the money come. Now the bill's still not paid just because you got the money, but there's a certain sense of, you know, just comfort, a certain sense of relaxation that comes upon you when you, I get it taken care of. Even if they call me, I can have peace. I got it, and I'm gonna take care of that for you first thing in the morning. It's just a peace that comes. But when you ain't got it, you're like, oh, Lord, what am I going to tell these people? Oh, my God. It's just the faith, the substance. When you got that, you got more than enough to be happy about. Say if you ain't got that bread, you can rejoice all the way to the store because you got the purchasing power. See, The faith, that's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Enoch represents the bride. You know, Enoch lived for 365 years. Enoch lived for 365 years, which just so happens for our day, we have a calendar that has 365 days. See, it's a perfect type of our time. All right, and just like Enoch walked with God and was translated one day, our walk with God is going to cause a translation to take place, a rapture. Amen. Because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 right here says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thank you. Oh, no. Let's go to this next quote here in Statue of a Perfect Man, paragraph 22, please. Amen. So this same story that Brother Branham was referring to here in Matthew 8, speak the word only, is also kind of bringing it forth how people would call Brother Branham sometime for prayer. And, you know, they could be on the other side of the world calling for prayer, but they believed that if they got in contact with God's prophet, that somehow their prayer was going to be answered. People believed that. And a prophetic gift is, I should just call it a gift. When a man is born a prophet like that, people could go to him for a number of things. You go back into the Old Testament, Elijah, one time they was out, I think it was Elisha, but they was out, the man was out chopping, had a axe, and that axe head fell off into the water. And when that axe head fell off, that man say, you don't borrow stuff and lose it, because things could happen to you. You know, that man was a little concerned about losing that axe head. Now, first, this is steel in water, or some heavy metal in water. First thing that's going to do is go straight to the bottom. But when the prophet, that man came to the prophet, and he believed, he didn't care. My God, Lord help us, Jesus. We need some faith. I need it. I'm just be honest. I need this. But that man went to the prophet at that time and says, look, please pray, brother. I just dropped it. I can't go back. That man say I lost his axe. I can't go back and do that. So where was it? Took a stick or something, stuck it in the water, said that axe head floated to the top. And they picked it up right on out the water and gave it to the man so he can take it back. Now, if they could do that in the scripture, all right, if that could happen in the scripture, we bring it forth to the day. People had all kind of things that they would go to Brother Branham and ask prayer for. One person stole a man's car. They were in service. Car got stolen out in the parking lot of the church. Now, that ain't nothing but the devil. They got down on their knees and they prayed right there on the spot. And before they knew it, the man that stole that car turned that car back around and came right back and dropped it off, got out and left. Now, I'm telling you, we need this type of faith. One brother, even when his son died, he was not prepared for the death of that boy. His son died, I said, Brother Branham, would you please pray that God would, you know, give me back my son? That boy was gone for a good while. Brother Branham prayed and entered into another realm where he saw that young man's spirit in the presence of God. And he'd come back and told the father, say, where I see your boy, you might want to leave him there. He says, I can pray and God will bring him back. But where I see him, I advise you to leave him there. That's what a prophet could do that, because he could go into those different realms like that. See, I mean, it was, you know, people were blessed to be able to be around a prophet like that. They were blessed as well as they were, I don't want to say cursed, but it troubled them too. Because when you see that kind of power all the time, you don't even know how to function yourself. And when God takes it away from you, you don't know what to do. See, you just don't know what to do. Because you can't go back to that source anymore. See, but it was never really about Brother Branham. It was about the Christ that was in Brother Branham. And if we get connected to Christ, then we're going to be all right. See, amen. See, God help us here. Thank God the prophet laid out the word so we have something that we can anchor on. So he was saying here in this quote, people would reach out to him and pray, you know, asking for prayer. And this is what he says. When omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, infinite, that's God. So when they make a phone call and say, pray, that contacts and your faith brings God. Now, Brother Branham's not here, but sometimes when the church, you might call me as a pastor to pray. I want you to catch this. The when you ask for prayer, pray, that contacts and your faith brings God. Your faith brings God. It's a thing that brings the prayer and God together on the scene. It's the thing that brings the prayer and God together on the scene. Prayer, faith changes from here to here. It brings it together. See, the faith, when you put faith, if I get in contact and I ask somebody to pray, I believe that that's going to bring God on the scene and this thing going to get taken care of. Not just, brother, pray now. I think that's just the right thing for us to do, but I really don't have any confidence at all in this. If you're going to call like that, just don't call. Don't call. Don't call. It's not worth it. It's a waste of everybody's time. But I'm calling because I believe once we pray, this thing going to change. Amen. Speak the word. All I want you to do is say the word and everything's all right. See, he didn't have to be there. Just say the word. Why? God is omnipresent. He's all powerful. And he's just as powerful beneath the world as he was on top of the world or on either side. He's God. And the only thing you have to do is just speak the word, he said. And now faith does the rest of it. Faith does the rest. This is the foundation that you built on. So you must have faith for a foundation. All Christianity, all you are, all you ever be is based upon faith in the word. Okay, let me keep going here. Paragraph 22:1 says this. All right, first you must be born again. And then when you're born again, you have faith. You believe the word until you're born again. You'll argue against it. If you're just religiously inclined, you've got a little human knowledge that you should do right, you'll never be able to agree upon the word of God. You'll never do it. You've got to be born again, and born again, it produces faith, all right? Then after you get faith, this right here, F-A-I-T-H, faith, then you're just in position of growing. So now that's the other thing. We get faith, and we stop right there. If we're going to the stature of a perfect man, we got to start with faith and just keep going from there, all right? Let's see, I want to just read, I'll just go to paragraph 22:3 as well on that. And I think I read this last week, but I'll bring it back in. It says, now a lot of people go up to the altar and pray and say, Lord, forgive me. And a great experience of sanctification come upon them and things. Then you have a great time, get up at the altar shouting, go back and say, bless God, I got it. No, you just started to a place where you can grow. You ain't done nothing yet. See, the only thing you've done is just laid the foundation. And that's you know, you ever seen a house where they just got the foundation laid, but they never put the walls up and no roof? It does nobody any good. See, same thing. You come to the altar, you repent, that's good. But now from there, it's time to grow. Amen. See, now it's time to grow. You ain't done nothing yet. See, the only thing you've done is just laid the foundation. You're going to build a house. and you pour the foundation. Say, boy, I got her. See, you've got the foundation to build your house on. Now you've got to build the house. Now there's where the thing comes in this morning. We're going to talk about now. All right, a house, this foundation. What is the foundation of Christianity? Faith in the Word of God. That's your foundation. Then you begin to grow. Then you start. You begin to add to this foundation. Let's go on to 23:2, and that'll be the last quote on faith here. It says, and now we're supposed to do his work. He said, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:7, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Now there's the trouble. We find those things happening. You know it. I know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find the scrap heaps of ministers, of Christians, piled along the road is because they didn't go into it right. And that's none but the truth. Many people have given up over the years is because they didn't go into it right. Now that's a powerful statement that the prophet has made. It's people didn't approach it the right way in Brother Branham's day. So after Brother Branham was gone, they was messed up. Brother was just sharing on Sunday how even over there in Africa, one brother, he wouldn't let his kids go to school. Wouldn't let them go to school, he said, because the rapture going to take place in 1977. And when the rapture didn't take place in 1977, nobody's been able to find that family since. And nobody know what happened because he was going out telling everybody he was approaching it the wrong way. Brother Branham didn't say, thus saith the Lord on that. He said, I predict. See? And we'll take a prediction and make it, thus saith the Lord. No, you can't do that. He just said, looking at the way time is, I just predict that this is going to happen. See, but anytime we have a little we miss a little something there with, that's why, let me put it this way. Everything Brother Branham said should come back. His quote book was the Bible. So what you ought to do is take anything that he said back to the scripture. Anything and everything back to the scripture, then you got both pieces of the puzzle, and now you got a clear picture. Amen. See? Amen. But when we kind of go off on this one or two quotes that we just got sitting out there and don't have any scripture to support it, it causes people to approach it the wrong way. And when things don't go the way they thought it was going to go, it don't line up at the end, then they end up on the side of the road, scrap heaps. Amen, church. The Bible predicted, the Bible prophesied of his ministry. The Bible said he was going to send Elijah the prophet. That's what the Bible said. Before he got here, he couldn't help being Elijah the prophet. And what I always tell people, say, if he was not the one, we got to find Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We know we're living in the last days. We know that for a fact. Too much stuff happening now. Way too much. Homosexuality is just out of control. It's just as it was in the days of Sodom. If this is not the last days, I don't know what it is. If it is, then there's certain promises God laid out in Scripture, and we've got to look for those things to be fulfilled. Amen. As they come to, being fulfilled, then we better stay with that word. But church, that's why we got to believe all God's word. The foundation is faith, and faith in what the Word of God has said. That's where my faith is. Well, Lord, if I can read in the Word, all right. Now I can go a little further with that. If I can't read in the Word, then you might not get too many amens from me. Amen. Praise the Lord. People got to take it back to the Word. Not one or two quotes. I'm telling you, because even as we land this out, we come from where they told us that the seven thunders were the seven virtues. That's what they told us. You come to find out Brother Branham never said that. Not one place he ever said it. But they sure had us thinking that. And you got to do this and you have to. No. That's not what he said. When you go back and listen to the tape, he never said that. He said seven thunders were the mysteries contained in the seven seals. That's what he said. He said the revelations contained in the seven seals. He said that's what the thunders released. Amen. But he never said that, even though these virtues will thunder out of you. But he didn't say that was the seven thunders. That's the seven virtues, which is the life of Christ, reflected through the individual. So, church, we're just trying to come back to the Word. That's all. Amen. And then you got a solid foundation you can build on. And amen. Something that Satan can't shake. Praise God for that. I just love God. I love God. Let me, did I finish reading that? Yeah. Okay, last part. He said, that's why I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. It says, how many would like to be that? The dwelling place of the living God. All right. Now, I'm going to leave it there for faith. Like I said, I'd like to encourage you to go back and listen to the message on Stature of a Perfect Man. You'll actually see in that message where he said that this will automatically be added to you. He said that. There is a in paragraph 17:7, says, so you see, he don't have to add anything to this now because it'll automatically be added. So if we get the true born-again experience, it's just like a sheep being born a sheep. He just produces wool. You don't have to manufacture it. It just happens. We're truly born again. This will come out of us. God's faith, God's virtue. Because what are we born again? We're born again of his Spirit. No longer our spirit. We died to our spirit. Now it's his Spirit that's coming forth, and we're producing his faith, his virtue, his knowledge, his temperance, his patience, his godliness, his brotherly kindness, his love. And brother Ricardo helped us to see on the other night the love that we have and the love that God, that Jesus was talking about. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Well, Peter was saying, with a phileo love, I love you. But Jesus said, do you love me with an agape love? It's two different loves that they were talking about in that same scripture. See? So we want the love of God, not the love of man, because the love of man will go out just like that. Let somebody, oh, I love you. I should have too. Let them do one thing wrong to you. One thing. You just fell out of love just that quick. I mean, out of love. You'll never talk to him again. Don't even want to see him again. I don't care if I never see you again. Well, yesterday you just loved me. See, that's the problem. We don't want that. We want the love of God that just keep going after. Just keep going after. No matter what, I just got to keep going after. Help me, Jesus. Church, we'll come back next week. We'll keep going with virtue. I want to take this time just to kind of bring these in, because that's what Ephesians 4 said that would happen. Amen. That we would, the fivefold ministry is to bring you to a spot, the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I want to make sure we got clarification as to what that stature is all about. Let's bow in a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your prophet that has provided us the understanding, revelation. And now, God, all we have to do is just apply it, live it. Lord, let us get to this a place where we can get clarity on this. Lord, for the scripture tells us that in all I get and get understanding. And that's what we need. So we trust, oh God, that you would just continue to open up our hearts to the word of God. Bless those that would hear this on MP3 on the website. Lord, just pray that you open up their hearts to be able to receive all that is being said. As we just try to help establish the church, Lord, with the life of Christ. What should it produce? What should it reflect? Your prophet laid it out. All we got to do is, Lord, just read it and apply it and let the Holy Spirit bring it to pass in our hearts. We yield ourselves to you. So that we can decrease and you can increase in us. In Jesus' name we pray.